For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Little Ozzy, get us moving. Of course, when you hear Iron Man, we're welcoming in our Iron Man, the one and only Neil Greenberg. You can follow him at N Greenberg. He is the official analytics expert of the B. Mitchell Finley program and also sports writer, stats geek for the Washington Post. Greenberg, how are you, buddy? How you been?
I'm doing great. Welcome back from the wedding of the year.
Grazie mille. The wedding was something else, man. You could do the breakdown analytically of the cost per person over there. I can only imagine.
I told her she should just have it in an Olive Garden and no one would know the difference.
It had to be one hell of an Olive Garden. Dude, I want to start with this. Did you watch Hard Knocks last night?
I am caught up, yes.
Okay. What do you make of the Joe Shane explanation to let Saquon go at the attempt to use 27-year-old running back breakdown?
Well, I think that's kind of the microcosm of where the NFL is right now. A lot of analytically minded people pan that draft pick from the start. And it's tough to pay a running back that much money because their peak is early in their career, and then there's a sharp downturn, and it gets sharper when, I think the organizations take advantage of this a little bit because they sometimes run these poor running backs into the ground early on, knowing that they're going to have a short life cycle. And, by the time they're ready for their second contract, the league has moved on from that age range of running backs. And, I think it was particularly poignant when they talked about, you're paying a quarterback $40 million a year, you're not going to be relying on a $12 million running back. So I think that there was a very honest look at what the landscape is for running backs in the NFL right now.
Well, what does the analytics say about you got to be paying $40 million to a quarterback that is not worth $40 million and can't carry
the team? Well, that's the other thing. You're absolutely right. We've talked about this on the show. Having a quarterback delivering above average performance on a below average contract is probably the most valuable asset you can have in the NFL because it allows you to spend elsewhere. So you're absolutely right. I mean, a lot of football today is money management, cap management, right? I mean, getting the most value you possibly can from every cap dollar because you only have so much you can spend. And, the free agent classes come out and, everyone's making more money than the player before them. And you have to, and there's also a winner's curse in free agency, right? I mean, chances are you're overpaying to get the person that you want. That's just inherently how the free agent market works. Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right. I mean, it's a tricky thing. That's why, when we're talking about Washington in particular, if the quarterback situation is even average, being able to get average quarterbacking performance on an entry-level contract has a lot of value and it has a lot of trickle effects for the rest of the roster.
Remember, I used this analogy earlier. And I would love to see, because we have a bunch of running backs that are in the Hall of Fame, and they were damn good for way beyond 27 years, okay? 27 years old. Back in the day, and they carried the ball more than the guys do today. I compared it to pitching back in the day compared to pitching today. It's like they've limited both positions, and both positions get hurt earlier. Is it part of them trying to say, oh, we're going to protect them, making them not good enough or strong enough to handle the rigors of the actual position?
You know, that's a good question. I think that the specialization has really affected all positions in both baseball and football. Football especially, you know, players are bigger, they're stronger, they're faster than they were, you know, back in the day, present party excluded. But, you know, you...
Talking about me?
Yeah. You know, the running backs now, they're very... Niche isn't the right word, but there's certainly running backs that are used on third down to catch the ball. There's certainly running backs that are used at the goal line and on first and second down, et cetera. I mean, there just aren't... Football has gotten away from having a one-person-do-it-all type of running back. I think analytics have played a part of it. I don't know if that's the right way to go or not right way to go. I'm sure that there are a lot of running backs that could handle versatile workloads, but the NFL head coaching position and the general manager position in particular have to be risk-averse because their shelf life is very short and their room for error is very short. So I think that if you have a coach that comes out and says, all right, we're going to have one guy do it, or we're never going to punt, or something to those extremes, then I think that they just put themselves at too much risk. And if it doesn't work spectacularly, they're going to be shown the door in very quick fashion.
So, but what Jay and I always say about self-preservation, I believe they're going to be shown to the door anyway.
They are.
Didn't it seem like it?
They have to be thinking about their next job, though, right? I mean, like, if you're a radical, let's say you're a radical thinker and you try something and it doesn't work, then your next job becomes a lot more difficult. And, you know, look at, you know, there's certainly been, you know, people that have been in those situations. I mean, you know, Sam Presti was... you know, I'm a little surprised he got another gig, but you know, there was, you know, you kind of have that mentality of building the core and stuff. You know, maybe that doesn't work. You know, we saw it, I should say, in Philadelphia as well, the process, you know, that is hard for some ownerships to take to heart. I mean, look at all the owners that won't even use the word rebuild, right? It's retool, it's refocus, it's reorganize. Like, they don't even use the rebuild word. Because of the stigma that's associated with it.
I think that's
it,
just about selling tickets.
If it doesn't work out. But it's also, you know, you also have to look at what your next job is.
See, Green, the way I think, though, and I think a lot of people in this world do this, I don't think about if I do it wrong. I think about when I do it right, what the hell is going to happen then. If somebody go and be a little different, then all of a sudden maybe the whole league will start doing something else again. But we get caught up in doing what everybody else does. That's why the NFL seems to be so close.
So my question, I just wonder if how running backs are treated has become a self-fulfilling prophecy where, okay, we can't pay them after 27 or 28, whatever the arbitrary cutoff is, but then you just start cutting carries. And by the time a guy's going into his fourth year, I mean, hell, you can watch what the Skins have done. You from Gibson, then you draft Robinson, then you draft Rodriguez, and you just continually replace these dudes, so then you kind of continuously cut their carries later in their career, and then you can kind of just point to the numbers going down.
This is why I think the next frontier of analytics is going to be biometrics, because you can't tell me that there aren't training programs or some type of physical – manipulation is the wrong word – but some type of physical kind of – structure, training structure, where you can't prolong the life of a running back. I mean, we can almost tell when pitchers get hurt because the release point changes drastically. You know, a release point change plus like a velocity change, an arm slot change, like you can plot all that stuff. And there was actually someone that was doing that, predicting pitcher injuries, and then he ended up getting hired by an MLB organization. His blog went dark, and we never heard from him again. You know, like the biometrics can help with that. I mean, they have like baseline everything of what a running back can do, and they can check that every week after every game. And anytime there's some sort of deterioration, I'm sure smart-minded medical people can figure out like what direction to go, and you know, how do we prolong the shelf life if we are to invest in a running back. But like you said, it's the wisdom of crowds, and that kind of goes back to what I'm talking about earlier, which is there's very few people that are willing to take the risk because there's only 30 head coaching jobs available, and if you take the risk and you're wrong, you might never see another one of those jobs again.
For sure.
You said earlier
it's
about
the league
bigger,
of self-preservation.
Bigger, stronger, faster. I would love to go through some of the top-notch players from back in the day and put their actual size against the people today and see if it's necessarily bigger, stronger, faster. Because if technology and everything has made them bigger, stronger, faster, shouldn't they be tougher?
Well, yeah. Maybe, right? It's also, there's a lot more money at stake, too. And again, going back to self-preservation, I mean, you know, there's a lot more money at stake and your next contract and nothing's guaranteed in the NFL, et cetera. But again, I mean, you couldn't pay me enough to stand in front of a guy like Earl Campbell. You know what I mean? Like
Earl Campbell will kill you. And I know, I know, like, Derrick Henry is huge, but he didn't play like
NFL
Earl Campbell played.
Of all time is Earl Campbell running and dragging at least five people with him down the field for another 5-6 yards. Like, you couldn't. I don't care if he's 69 years old right now. There's nothing in this world that would get me to stand in front of him when he's getting ahead of steam ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you, but I think, you know, again, it's just there's so much money involved. You mentioned tickets. Like, there's so much invested in these players, both on and off the field, that I think that they just have to treat them with kid gloves because you just have to be careful. You know, you're marketing your main running back guy, and then he gets hurt or he falls off a cliff or whatever. You know, you invested so much time and money in that, and it just becomes a hassle for the organization just from top to bottom in all different types of departments.
Do you believe, talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here on the BetQL guest line, sports betting has come to the DMV. Don't place that first bet without checking with BetQL. Do you believe, the other thing that kind of went under the radar is Joe Shane in that Hard Knocks is talking about Darren Waller. Like, did he have no idea that was coming in early February?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was a joke, right? Like, as soon as they said that Daniel Jones was the guy, Darren Waller retired. you know, like, I don't know. Look, I'm not a player. Like, I don't know how much of that plays into it. But, you know, that's certainly concerning if that was, you know, you're thinking that your guy's going to be the major piece, and then he decides he doesn't want to be part of football anymore. But, you know, people retire, you know, for different, like, look, we talk about being a dangerous sport. I mean, there are serious health consequences to playing football and, you know, your life after football and, you know, what you can and can't do physically, mentally. I mean, so there's a lot that goes into it. You know, would I have had a conversation with the people around my organization that was in my decision process? Probably. But, yeah, I mean, I think that this Hard Knocks is actually fascinating the back room type stuff, you know, the off the field stuff that we're getting privy to.
The next person that get asked to do this is gonna probably say no.
Yeah.
I'm still stunned that it's the Giants. Well, the Giants like to let nothing out. I'm stunned by that. All right, I want to switch a couple gears. I traveled a little bit, you may have heard that. I think get me up to speed with the Caps. They've made a ton of kind of changes here early in free agency, spent some money, made some trades. Are they better?
I think that I don't know if they're better, but what it looks like to me is they want to make sure that they have enough skaters around Ovechkin to be at least competitive during his chase for Gretzky. Like, I don't think these moves make them a Stanley Cup caliber team, but I do think it gives them enough like healthy bodies, depth on the roster, where you know we're not looking at a number one draft pick rebuild type situation. I've maintained that the next 2 years should be nothing more than about Ovechkin's chase for Gretzky. You know, wheel Nick Backstrom out there, weak in a Bernie style, if he gets close for a possible secondary assist. But you need to have bodies. You need to be able to, you know, have some depth so that you give other, you know, that you give fans a reason to come to the ice. So that's what I think it is. I think the biggest splash has been Nashville. Barry Trotz, former coach of the Capitals, now GM of the Predators, making some huge splashes with Stamkos and Mascherald and some others. I mean, they have definitely put themselves on the map as a Stanley Cup contender right now.
But out of respect for Ovi, shouldn't they definitely try to put more around him than trying to just make it seem like, I understand him getting a record is a fantastic thing, but if I'm that guy trying to get a record, I'd be damned if I want to lose every damn game.
Well, that's what I think these depth moves have made. I think that kind of insulates you from that a little bit. I don't think it's going to be a losing campaign next year. I just think that you have to – hockey does a very good job of optically making it look like a lot of teams are in the playoff hunt when they really aren't. So I think that if you have enough able bodies to skate, you can definitely look like you're in contention. You can definitely sell it as, you know, they're only X amount of games at a wild card spot. They're still in the hunt. They're still in this. And then you can kind of go from there. I just, with the Backstrom injury, the Kuznetsov thing happening, and everyone getting older, there was a lot of resources put into the nucleus of that roster, and it just got older quick. So now I really do believe it's all about the chase for Gretzky.
All right, last one, Greenberg. I follow you on X, Twitter, and I think others should too. It's at N Greenberg. Going back to football, what is your interesting nugget on the Commanders game in Arizona in Week 4?
Oh, so there was an annual type thing put out by Clev TA, very, very smart football analyst guy. And he noted that teams that go from a Monday night game to a Sunday afternoon game cover the spread only 44% of the time. Arizona's -2.5, -115. 2.5 obviously is below the key number 3. I think that's a pretty good spot for a modest wager. When you're at -2.5, the market really can't move against you all that much unless there's a major injury. You know, even if it goes to -2, -1.5, most games end at 3 and 7 anyway. So being under the key number, I think, is a good thing. So I took a little piece of it.
All right. Take a little piece of his heart. Greenberg, we got bleep you. We're doing it on Wednesday because tomorrow's a holiday. Anybody you'd like to bleep before we let you go?
Yeah, I like to bleep the fast food person that always gets my hamburger wrong. I always ask for a regular hamburger. There's usually cheese on it and a bunch of other stuff. Just look at the ticket. Make it right. I know you have a hard job. I know you're trying to do your own thing, but just, like, maybe get it right, like, 2 times out of 10. That's all I'm asking.
First bleep you of the day, and it was perfect. Thank you, Neil. Have a happy 4th of July, dude.
All right, be safe. Love
Thank you,
guys.
Buddy.
That's our guy, Neil Greenberg. Give him a follow at N Greenberg on X and Instagram. That's right. You heard me right. Bleep you Wednesday starts at noon.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number 1. Or draft pick number 1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Breaking news on the Fan. We very famously don't do politics here. I was very, very happy to be out of the country last week. Apparently there was a debate that I missed. But Brian, you got to buckle up for this one.
What you got?
Marshawn Lynch is launching a new podcast. Guess who his co-host is? I'll give you 30 euros if you guess this.
Richard Sherman.
No. Jeff, you got a guess? And if you've seen it, you don't get to guess.
Russell Wilson.
No. Although that may be more unlikely than who it is, because I think the way Marshawn has talked about Russ, those two ain't exactly tight.
No.
Landini?
Well, since you said we don't talk about politics, it makes me think that this is some political person.
Now, if you've seen it.
I haven't. Okay. I'm going to say it's RFK Jr.
No, oh. But you're not. This is from Adam Schefter. This is legitimate breaking news. California Governor Gavin Newsom, Super Bowl champion Marshawn Beast Mode Lynch, and NFL agent Doug Hendrickson are joining forces for a new weekly podcast called Politickin'. Marshawn and Gavin Newsom, what a world. The guy.
Sorry, I actually hit the wrong one. It was supposed to be this.
Here's one thing I can promise you. No matter what happens on Politickin', I won't listen to a freaking second of it. Okay.
How much would I have to pay you to get you to listen to one of those episodes?
I promise you, if they start talking about sports and Marshawn start talking, you're going to venture over there to it.
I promise you.
If they're
you
talking
I
about straight politics, no. But if they're talking about interesting stuff, I can see it.
I do find Marshawn entertaining. It's not going to be high on my list of things to do. But who knows, dude? Who knows where the hell things are going between now and November? You know what I'm focused on in November? Like week 11 versus the Browns or whatever. That's what I'm looking forward to. All right, B. Landfill had this thing for us to look at last week, and I do want to hit it because I think it's interesting. We talk so much, especially now, this Saquon thing is going to be fascinating to watch with the Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that you've got Ayuk holding out, or I don't know if he's officially holding out until training camp starts, but he ain't happy. CeeDee Lamb, similar boat. Micah Parsons, similar boat. What's going to happen with Dak? There's all these questions.
Mm-hmm.
But at the baseline, generally, I think Ayuk and Lamb might find out, yo, you don't get to reset the market because the market thinks higher of Jefferson than either of you. I think
they come up with a deal with both of those guys.
I think both guys get signed. I'm just saying the quarterback market tends to break records every time. Jeff, can I tell you how distracting it is when you're just shaking your ass in front of me in the name of stretching? I mean, your big ass is 5 feet in front of me and you're lifting your hips up like a dog on a post office box. I know you got to stretch, bro, and I support your hip health, but, like, just right there is a little tough.
My bad, bro. That's just a pressure point right now from 2 days ago.
I get it. You might have gone 2 days ago. You went for a walk. Your hips hurt. I get it. But let's do it in the breaks, maybe.
All right, I got you.
Thank you. Generally, B, what happens with the quarterback market, it gets reset. Trevor Lawrence just reset it, right? Mm-hmm. Whether he should or shouldn't have, he did.
Yeah.
What the hell are you going to do with Tua?
I think Tua's going to set it. He's going to reset it.
You think he should?
But that it doesn't make a difference what I think. It's what the league does. And I think that's the ultimate thing. Look, I can be real. We say running backs get hurt. Their shelf life is short. Quarterbacks get hurt all the damn time. They still get paid top dollar. So ultimately, the league does what the league wants to do. So should Tua? No. Will he? Probably yes.
Do you think the concussion history for Tua should be a factor?
Yes. I'm the type of person where I'm an equal opportunity type person. If they said all this crap about running backs and all these other damn people that get hurt all the time, yeah, it needs to be the same thing held against them. He has concussions. He has a bad back. He has bad knees.
He's got hip issues like Jeff.
All kind of things wrong with him, but they're going to pay him.
Who do you think has worse hips, Jeff or Tua?
Jeff, hips don't lie.
Men lie, women lie. Hips don't lie. Landini, would you go top of market with Tua? Would you pay Tua $50 million?
Let's do right here, Landon, before you answer that. Daniel Jones makes $47 million. Why shouldn't Tua make $50 million?
Yeah, I think the answer is yes. I think it's one of those things where it has high disaster potential. Like, the guy has a long injury history, and it could wind up that he's just done in a couple of years. But if that's the case, you're probably screwed anyway. Like, you don't have a good quarterback. What are you going to do? I'd pay this guy, and if he's good, well, then you got a solid quarterback there to go along with everybody else for the next few years. And if it turns out that his body just breaks down, everybody's getting fired anyway. So what the hell?
There is some truth to the, pay him now. Try to ride this thing out, because eventually, when it goes bad, we're all leaving anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of what the Giants are doing, right?
I think if you really look at the whole NFL, everybody does the exact same thing, just that some people have a good quarterback and some people don't. And we could sit up here and say, I don't know if Andy even knew what Tua was going to be when he drafted him. Or not Tua, Pat. But Pat ended up being great, so it works out perfectly for you.
Right.
Everybody that drafts all these quarterbacks in the first round think that guy is going to be the guy. So it's basically luck. we talk about how great some general managers are. Nah, it's lucky. They just lucked up and got the guy that didn't get hurt and was fantastic. Some guys have guys that's fantastic, but they get hurt. Because if Joe get hurt one or two more times,
you
can start thinking about him.
You wonder with the Bengals. I'm trying to think of like a comp like Burrow, who was obviously the dude, but just couldn't keep it together mm-hmm. on the field. I'm really fascinated to see what happens with Tua. The Cowboys might have themselves in a spot here, man. When you consider Lamb, Parsons, Dak, those are their three best players.
Yeah.
Lamb and Parsons for sure. When they had their elite offensive line, Tyron Smith was probably in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dak is similar to Kirk in a way. You know what Dak is. He's going to pile up yards and touchdowns, but I don't know that you're going to find a ton of success late in the year.
But
maybe that's not all his fault, but some of it is.
I'll take that one step farther even with Dak. Dak has numbers with a lot of different coordinators. So Dak has shown his tendency to be good. But the coordinators that he has, for some reason, they seem to keep getting jobs other places too, right? So they're benefiting from Dak, just like Dak is going out and benefiting as well. Which coordinator is going to come in and find out why he doesn't get over the hump and change that for him?
It's funny, though. I mean, Dak's coordinators haven't gotten head coaching jobs. If you look at, it was Kellen Moore.
Not yet. They're about to get one.
You think Kellen Moore's getting one? Because he's been Dallas, then he was in eventually. Chargers. Now he's with the Eagles. I remain skeptical about the Eagles, and I recognize I'm kind of on an island with that because they have a ton of talent. You watch how they collapsed last year. I don't know. I find that fascinating. And if you're mad at me, Philly fans, call it new.
Think about them. They won a Super Bowl. They tore down their stuff, went right back, and was in the Super Bowl again.
You're saying from 17
I'm saying
to 22?
Overall, how they've done it, they get it done the right way.
I agree.
Collapsed last year because sometimes things go wrong.
They've been
always in the playoffs and doing stuff.
I think you could argue that over the last 20-year span, they're maybe the best organization. No, the Pats. But they'd be a top five organization in football.
Yeah.
Their one Super Bowl breakthrough was when nobody expected it with a backup quarterback. But you're right. They do it the right way. I just – somebody's got to tell me what the hell happened the last eight games of last year. And if it was the coach losing the locker room, how's he still there? Bleep You Wednesday starts at noon. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Yo, I just got this email that we got to discuss, fellas. All right. You know how I get emails from PR people all over, right? I don't know how the hell I'm on this list. But I just got a list of the top 10 unhealthiest fast food menu items in the United States. You guys want to take a crack at the least healthy fast food menu items in the United States?
Baconator.
That's in the discussion, but it's not number one.
Delicious, by the way.
French fries.
I got a feeling all these are going to be delicious. Hold on. Jeff, did you just say French fries?
As the number one, yeah.
When something like a Baconator is an option, I don't think French fries are that bad.
Hey, it's a lot of salt and grease and potatoes and oil.
Yeah, but just so Landfill said the Baconator. B, what's your guess? What?
Triple Whopper.
Right, a triple Whopper. Like, not that French fries are like eating green beans or something, but they don't compare to some of the craziness that's available. But I find this pretty damn fascinating because I wouldn't have thought this. The least healthy fast food menu item, the big breakfast with hotcakes from McDonald's.
Delicious.
Yeah, I can see that.
What is it? Pancakes, eggs, bacon?
Pancake, egg, bacon, syrup. Nothing syrup. But sugar.
Yeah, the sugar might get you.
Pancakes, eggs, sausage, a biscuit, and hash browns.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right.
It's big. That's what they say.
It is a big breakfast. So you get bacon and sausage?
No bacon.
Okay. Now, I have something bad to report about Italy and Europe. The food is great. Pizza, sandwiches.
Small portions?
The portions were smaller for sure, but it was fine with me. I eat like a bird anyway. They don't do breakfast sausage right. Their breakfast sausage, you know how we like breakfast sausage? A little bit spicy, maybe a little, you know, honey, maple syrupy flavor, whatever. All the sausage over there tastes like kind of like kielbasa or something. I don't know what the difference is, but it doesn't slap like it's supposed to. All right, so the big breakfast is the least healthy. Then the big breakfast with a regular size biscuit is number two. Number three, we get to the sandwiches. This is the first sandwich on our list. Any guesses? Jeff, are you going to say French fries again? Do you need me to make clear that it's a sandwich?
Shut up, JP.
I'm sticking with Baconator.
Okay.
Triple Whopper.
Okay. Jeff, you want in again?
French fries.
Jeff said French fries.
I'm going to say the Big Mac.
All right. Now, Leville, I don't know if these are synonymous with your guess. Coming in third and the first sandwich on our list, because the big breakfast should kind of be excluded. That's like a full breakfast. The Cheddar Bacon King sandwich from Burger King. Is that the same as a Baconator?
I mean, it's like Burger King's version of a Baconator.
Who came up with the Baconator? Wendy's,
yeah.
Okay. So the Cheddar Bacon King is the first sandwich, then the Bacon King. Then, Brian, you've said it repeatedly, the Triple Whopper comes in fifth.
Wait, how many? They're telling you how many calories they have?
It gives you an index score.
See, the Triple Whopper has vegetables, so it takes points off.
What, the lettuce?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, dog. They got three patties. They got everything. Mayo.
Hold on. I can give you some calorie counts if you want. All right, so the first sandwich is the Cheddar Bacon King from Burger King. It has 84 grams of fat and 165% of your daily caloric intake.
Wow.
Yo, the bacon.
So that thing has like 25 to 3,000 calories?
Bro, I don't know about the Cheddar Bacon King, but the regular Bacon King, this I find hard to believe.
Well, it has about 1,700 calories.
The Bacon King has 58% of your recommended calories. You're supposed to get 3,000
calories?
No,
it's like 2,000 to 2,500.
Okay, the Bacon King sandwich has 1,150 calories.
All right. I think the Triple Whopper has more than that.
The Triple Whopper, Brian, has 1,220.
Yeah, so that's more, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe it's got lower sodium.
No.
Bro, this is wild.
I guess the cheese and all that, because the Cheddar King has a lot of cheese.
Let's do a snake draft of what you'd want to eat.
How about a triple whopper with cheese?
Triple whopper with cheese is fifth. Triple whopper on its own is eighth.
Okay.
Now, I've never had or heard this, and I would have heartburn for a week and need a nap within 10 minutes of completing it. But there's something called a two-sausage biscuit from Wendy's. Is anybody familiar with that?
Nuh-uh.
I love sausage biscuits. If I was going to get anything on here, I guess my preferred order at Burger King is a Whopper Jr. with cheese, not a triple Whopper. Lanville, how do you feel about my preferred order at Wendy's?
I mean, what's the point?
Yeah, but you want a what?
I like a Whopper Jr. No onions, please. But if I had to get one of these things, I could do a big breakfast. I love a big breakfast, but I got to be able to take a nap and not have anything else to do the rest of the day. As long as those terms can be met, I'm good. You eat big breakfast, B?
I don't eat till 12 o'clock normally, JP.
I mean, I don't. You so and I are kind of similar.
When
in
I
that.
Eat breakfast, I'd rather eggs, bacon, or eggs and some sausage and some grits or something like that. I'm not a cornflake guy. Continental breakfast, you can keep that crap. You know.
I don't mind. I like a good yogurt parfait for breakfast.
Nah, but I went to
Jeff. Why you hitting me with a pause?
I went to Silver Diner the other day, and they have the buffalo ranchero, something like that. And I got that, and I told them to add me two extra eggs on it. That was fantastic.
Jeff, what's your go-to breakfast? French fries?
No, my go-to breakfast is bacon, egg, and cheese, bro.
I mean, it's the best. It's just
it's simple.
Well, it just...
He and Lanfield like to eat them damn big-ass bagels, too.
Oh, yeah.
But that's cream cheese.
But that's the bagel's good.
I usually get a sandwich, though.
I like bacon, but it's probably third on my list of breakfast meats. I'd rather have sausage.
I like bacon.
Taylor Ham's my go-to.
I like bacon when it's crispy. Most people don't cook crispy bacon. Yeah. In this
especially
day and age,
not at a continental breakfast at a hotel. That joint is like slimy.
This day and age, everybody cooked their bacon and it's flimsy. I want it crispy as hell.
Yeah, and I get my bacon.
And I like the extra thick pieces.
Yes. Yeah, you know game.
But I prefer bacon in the afternoon. Like I like bacon on a sandwich, bacon on a salad. I'm an afternoon bacon man, Brian.
You know, there's a lot of bars in Florida. They have bacon right on the bar.
You know I like why? Those kind of bars.
Because when you eat that bacon, you get thirsty. You buy more drinks.
That's a good app. Rather than putting out like nuts or something, just put out plates of bacon.
Yeah.
Shout out to Greg Abernathy.
Or cups.
Cups of bacon, even better. How big are your cups? Double D's, bacon. How about this? When we come back, phone lines open. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Who are you mad at? Tomorrow's a holiday, so we're not doing Bleep You tomorrow. We're doing Bleep You today. At noon. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Yo, I just got this email that we got to discuss, fellas. All right. You know how I get emails from PR people all over, right? I don't know how the hell I'm on this list. But I just got a list of the top 10 unhealthiest fast food menu items in the United States. You guys want to take a crack at the least healthy fast food menu items in the United States?
Baconator.
That's in the discussion, but it's not number one.
Delicious, by the way.
French fries.
I got a feeling all these are going to be delicious. Hold on. Jeff, did you just say French fries?
As the number one, yeah.
When something like a Baconator is an option, I don't think French fries are that bad.
Hey, it's a lot of salt and grease. And potatoes and oil.
Yeah, but just so Lanfield said the Baconator. B, what's your guess? What?
Triple Whopper.
Right, a triple Whopper. Like, not that French fries are like eating green beans or something, but they don't compare to some of the craziness that's available. But I find this pretty damn fascinating because I wouldn't have thought this. The least healthy fast food menu item, the big breakfast with hotcakes from McDonald's.
Delicious.
Yeah, I can see that.
What is it? Pancakes, eggs, bacon?
Pancake, egg, bacon. Syrup. Nothing but sugar.
Yeah, the sugar might get you.
Pancakes, eggs, sausage, biscuit, and hash browns.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right.
It's big. That's what they say.
It is a big breakfast. So you get bacon and sausage?
No bacon.
Okay. Now, I have something bad to report about Italy and Europe. The food is great. Pizza, sandwiches. The portions were smaller for sure, but it was fine with me. I eat like a bird anyway. They don't do breakfast sausage right. Their breakfast sausage, you know what? How we like breakfast sausage, a little bit spicy, maybe a little, you know, honey, maple syrupy flavor, whatever. All the sausage over there tastes like kind of like kielbasa or something. I don't know what the difference is, but it doesn't slap like it's supposed to. All right, so the big breakfast is the least healthy. Then the big breakfast with a regular size biscuit is number two. Number three, we get to the sandwiches. This is the first sandwich on our list. Any guesses? Jeff, are you going to say French fries again? Do you need me to make clear that it's a sandwich?
Shut up, JP.
I'm sticking with Baconator.
Okay.
Triple Whopper.
Okay. Jeff, you want in again?
French fries.
Jeff said French fries.
I'm going to say the Big Mac.
All right. Now, Leville, I don't know if these are synonymous with your guess. Coming in third and the first sandwich on our list, because the big breakfast should kind of be excluded. That's like a full breakfast. The Cheddar Bacon King sandwich from Burger King. Is that the same as a Baconator?
I mean, it's like Burger King's version of a Baconator.
Who came up with the Baconator? Wendy's,
yeah.
Okay. So the Cheddar Bacon King is the first sandwich, then the Bacon King. Then, Brian, you've said it repeatedly, the Triple Whopper comes in fifth.
Wait, how many? They're telling you how many calories they have?
It gives you an index score.
See, the Triple Whopper has vegetables, so it takes points off.
What, the lettuce?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, dog. They got three patties. They got everything, mayo.
Hold on. I can give you some calorie counts if you want. All right, so the first sandwich is the Cheddar Bacon King from Burger King. It has 84 grams of fat and 165% of your daily caloric intake.
Wow.
Yo, the bacon.
So that thing has like 25 to 3,000 calories?
Bro, I don't know about the Cheddar Bacon King, but the regular Bacon King, this I find hard to believe.
Well, it has about 1,700 calories.
The Bacon King has 58% of your recommended you're supposed to get 3,000
like
calories
2,000 to 2,500.
Okay. The Bacon King sandwich has 1,150 calories.
All right. I think the Triple Whopper has more than that.
The Triple Whopper, Brian, has 1,220.
Yeah. So that's more, isn't it?
Yeah. Maybe it's got lower sodium.
No.
Bro, this is wild.
I guess the cheese and all that, because the Cheddar King has a lot of cheese.
Let's do a snake draft of what you'd want to eat.
How about a Triple Whopper with cheese?
Triple Whopper with cheese is fifth. Triple Whopper on its own is eighth.
Okay.
Now, I've never had or heard this, and I would have heartburn for a week and need a nap within 10 minutes of completing it. But there's something called a two-sausage biscuit from Wendy's. Is anybody familiar with that?
Nuh-uh.
I love sausage biscuits. If I was going to get anything on here, my preferred order at Burger King is a Whopper Jr. with cheese, not a Triple Whopper. Lanville, how do you feel about my preferred order at Wendy's?
I mean, what's the point?
Yeah, but you want a what?
I like a Whopper Jr. No onions, please. But if I had to get one of these things, I could do a big breakfast. I love a big breakfast, but I got to be able to take a nap and not have anything else to do the rest of the day. As long as those terms can be met, I'm good. You eat big breakfast, B?
I don't eat till 12 o'clock normally, JP.
I mean, I don't. You and I are kind of similar.
When I eat breakfast, I'd rather eggs, bacon, or eggs and some sausage and some grits or something like that. I'm not a cornflake guy. Continental breakfast, you can keep that crap. You know,
I don't mind. I like a good yogurt parfait for breakfast.
Nah, but I went to
Jeff. Why you hitting me with a pause?
I went to Silver Diner the other day, and they have the buffalo ranchero, something like that. And I got that, and I told him to add me two extra eggs on it. That was fantastic.
Jeff, what's your go-to breakfast? French fries?
No, My go-to breakfast is bacon, egg, and cheese, bro.
I mean, it's the best. It's just...
Yeah, it's simple.
Well, that, you know, it just...
He and Landfill like to eat them damn big-ass bagels, too.
Oh, yeah.
But that's,
oh,
but that's all that cream cheese.
But that's the bagel's bagel. Good.
I usually get a sandwich, though.
I like bacon, but it's probably third on my list of breakfast meats. I'd rather have sausage.
I like bacon.
Taylor Ham's my
go-to. I like bacon when it's crispy. Most people don't cook crispy bacon. Yeah. In this
especially
day and age,
not at a continental breakfast at a hotel. That joint is like slimy.
This age, this day and age, everybody cook their bacon and it's flimsy. I want it crispy as hell.
Yeah, and I get my bacon.
And I like the extra thick pieces.
Yes. Yeah, you know game.
But I prefer bacon in the afternoon. Like, I like bacon on a sandwich, bacon on a salad. I'm an afternoon bacon man, Brian.
You know, there's a lot of bars in Florida. They have bacon right on the bar.
You know I like why? Those kind of bars. Because
when you eat that bacon, you get thirsty. You buy more drinks.
That's a good app. Rather than putting out like nuts or something, just put out plates of bacon.
Yeah.
Shout out to Greg Abernathy.
Or cups.
Cups of bacon, even better. How big are your cups? Double D's, bacon. How about this? When we come back, phone lines open. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Who are you mad at? Tomorrow's a holiday, so we're not doing Bleep You tomorrow. We're doing Bleep You today.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.